Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, we don't have a name for this, but we're going to come up with one because there are a lot of things that happen, little things, maybe they were said during press conferences or little developments that are coming after the fact that I want to get your impressions of because, as we said, we look through the Chicago prism and you wonder if it could at all affect the Bears. So let's start with this. Daniel Jones stunk against the Eagles. The Giants barely showed up, and in getting beaten 38-7, it raised some doubts about what kind of season they had after all. Last week, we're singing the praises of Brian Daboll. This week, New Yorkers are wondering what exactly they had in this first year of success. Now, that is typical New York to me, a little bit of an overreaction. But Daniel Jones, after going 15-27, 135 yards, 53.8 passer rating, if he moves on, first of all, will he move on? And is him possibly moving on have any impact potentially on whether or not another team might be looking at the number one overall draft pick and you add another team to the mix of potential suitors who could possibly make a deal with the Bears?
Well, I've gotten a sense from folks up in New York that there is a hope that they can take what was an encouraging year by Daniel Jones before this weekend and get him back on a deal that makes sense for both sides. Short term, you don't need to sign him to a 9-year contract, 10-year contract, but bring him back on something that makes sense and try to see what you can get out of that ongoing relationship with Brian Daboll. Is Daniel Jones built strong enough psychologically to be a bridge guy if you decide to do that and then you go draft a young player to develop? I don't know. It's another, again, the NFC is in such flux with teams that kind of sort of have answers at quarterback, but kind of sort of don't. And this is another one that you're right. If they decide to go in a different direction, what does that look like? And then what are their options for maneuvering? And so listen, before we finish this episode, remind me to give you my domino effect, proposition for you that we can talk through at the end that relates to the playoffs. But it's a fascinating question, David, because there's going to be so much quarterback movement. And now the question is which teams move for veterans, which teams want the rookies, which teams are kind of caught in the middle and don't know what to do. And you've got, you know, the Daniel Joneses, the Derek Carrs, the, you know, guys that'll be changing scenery, Aaron Rodgers.
I mean,
let me not step in your path then.
We digress. But if I'm Joe Shane, I think Daniel Jones, you got to keep him. You got to build up the continuity and give Brian Daboll a chance to prove he's as smart as everybody thinks he is. And the fact that he can build off of this, what could be a coach of the year rookie season in New York. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers, Adam Schefter, who doesn't really throw things around lightly. He is the NFL's, you know, he's an NFL insider who does it as well as anybody. He mentioned that there's a quote, real possibility that Aaron Rodgers will be traded by the Packers. Now, I wonder this, not just about the ramifications, because as you point out, you're right. Another team moving on from a quarterback or another veteran quarterback landing somewhere on a team that doesn't needs one now and might not need one if they get him because Packers might be moving to Jordan Love. How does that get out there, Dan? Because I don't think that Aaron Rodgers has as much to gain from being traded as much as the Packers do because you can't let him retire and potentially get nothing in return, which they might be looking at next year if they has one more year and then retires. This is the offseason for them to get something back if indeed Aaron Rodgers is going to not finish his career as a Packer.
Well, I think he's got $110 million left on that contract that somebody's going to have to be willing to take on or convince the Packers that they should swallow a chunk of it and help out. How does it get out there? It's the most fascinating question because there's two possible ways. It's either the Packers wanting to let the rest of the league know, hey, we're open for business. If you got any offers, give us a ring. The Goot is on the other line waiting for your call. He wants to hear the highest possible offer. The other possibility is that Aaron Rodgers simply wants a change of scenery and he and his camp want to, get in a scenario where they let other teams know, hey, if you want me, call my employer and see if they'll budge and let me roll. Obviously, it was a disappointing 2022 for the Packers. And I think they saw that, okay, this thing is headed down a path that we didn't expect it to get to this quickly. And now you have to sort of make difficult decisions. And look, like I tell Packers fans all the time that say, oh, it's good riddance. It's time to move on. Let's flip the page from Aaron Rodgers. Just like be careful what you wish for, because the idea that Jordan Love is just going to be a difference-making starter is, again, it's like betting green on the roulette wheel. And you don't know that. You certainly, odds are against that being the case. And so if you get caught in a 25-year span where you can't solidify that position, you're going to see what the other side of the world experienced for the last 30 years while you had Hall of Famer, playoff berth, division championship, playoff berth, conference championship bid, et cetera. That way, listen, it's off-season drama with Rodgers is predictable. It's always compelling. It's always fascinating. And we'll wait for a resolution. What happens if he goes out for a reunion with Davante Adams in Vegas? And then the Packers.
I don't think that makes as much sense to me because that team is not on the cusp of anything except for maybe falling apart a little bit more. I look at a team like the Jets adding a quarterback, or maybe if Daniel Jones moves on, the Giants adding a quarterback. New York would be perfect for Aaron Rodgers. He loves the stage. He's a football diva. He'd be great off Broadway. So I think that would be possible. And as Adam Studzinski, our ace producer, points out, there's an enormous amount of a dead cap space or a dead cap hit this year. I've seen it reported, a big range of reports, Dan. I'm not quite sure what that number is, everywhere from $99 million to $52 million. It's a big number, and I don't know how realistic it is for a team to add it, but that rumor didn't get out there accidentally.
No, and look, if you're the Packers and you make that deal, you're punting on 2023. You have officially shifted gears into a future realm because you're not going to be able to compete with however much dead cap money is there, and you're obviously subtracting a four-time MVP from your roster. So those are tough decisions, but that's why the Goot is in that chair, and we'll see what the Goot does.
Well, and at some point, though, you've got to move on from Aaron Rodgers, and you've got to be willing to get what you can. And maybe it is several draft picks and you're in a position where you can absorb some of that. And I don't know. It's just something that when you see these reports surface, and this won't be the last one, because the next one, Tom Brady apparently told teammates in Tampa that if he comes back and plays, it won't be in Tampa Bay with the Buccaneers. It will be somewhere else. So I got to wonder, you've got some changes with the new offensive coordinator in Tampa. They're going to be one of those teams that would be compelled perhaps to move up to the top five to start over with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and that's what you want if you're Ryan Poles. You want a whole long list of suitors that are coming to you with different propositions, and you're able to say, hey, we got this call yesterday. This is what they offered. What do you got today? And then you just play this out over the course of weeks and months until you get a deal that makes absolute perfect sense for you. Look, like it's a great position to be in if you're the Bears. Obviously, you wouldn't want to be in that position with a 3-14 record and a roster with as many holes as the Bears have. But given where they are, you can't ask for a better situation in January, February, March, and April than what Ryan Poles has to do, because he's got an opportunity now to make a lot of moves. The Brady thing. It's like it's asinine that we're still talking about this. Tom Brady is my age, and like we were at a point 8 years ago where we're like, he's got to be on his last legs. And he's headed for his 46th birthday, right? And we're still talking about him starting at quarterback in the NFL. Like, it blows your mind when you take even a half breath to back up and go, at some point he's just got to say, that's it. I'm done. Like, enough. But it doesn't seem like it's headed that direction.
Well, I know. And that's why you watch it closely, because if you're the Bears at number one overall in the draft position and you are staring at possibly the Colts at number four making a deal because they want a quarterback, Chris Ballard is kind of this is his hobby is collecting former great quarterbacks and seeing how if they have anything left. He very easily could be the guy you could envision signing Tom Brady, trying to trade for Aaron Rodgers, adding Derek Carr. Whatever the case may be, Chris Ballard at four might surprise everybody, disappoint some people in Indy by not going for the rookie and just adding the veteran and repeating history. And we don't know who their coach is going to be yet. So we don't know how inclined that coach will be to either want to go young or stay competitive. So that's why all these possibilities have, if you look at it through the Chicago prism, we should get a Chicago prism, then actually – it does make sense to consider all possibilities.
There was a time not that long ago where quarterback movement in the offseason was not what it is now. But we've entered in the last two or three years, you know, big names changing cities, changing teams. It's become the norm, and it's become fascinating, and it allows for a lot of debate in situations like this until the dominoes finally settle. I mean, last year was another year where it was like all of a sudden, guys, Russell Wilson's going here, Matt Ryan's going here, Carson Wentz is shooting off there. You know, it's just become wild, and it's going to remain wild until teams find their hope. And obviously, we mentioned in the AFC, there's a lot more teams that have found their hope than there are in the NFC.
One more observation, quarterback related, that just reinforces how much the draft has not changed, but just how much we value the draft position and draft status. If Brock Purdy were a second-round draft pick from Iowa State and plugged into the 49er offense and doing what he has done, I think we would be viewing what he has done a lot differently. As it is, we appreciate it, we celebrate it, but there's always in the back, well, you know, he was Mr. Irrelevant. He was drafted in the seventh round. Did you see that quick slant was a little bit to the right? And, you know, you don't want to throw to the numbers because he can't make that throw yet. I know that. He is Mr. Irrelevant, but he's having a huge impact on these playoffs. And I think Brock Purdy is one victory away from taking his team to the Super Bowl and being the most doubted starting quarterback in the Super Bowl since Rex Grossman. Now, we know that didn't end well, but I'm just saying that Brock Purdy, to me, deserves at least our respect for being able to manage his anxiety to clear that low bar. But the bar is even lower because of where he was drafted. Had he been a second rounder, we'd be talking about him as a future franchise quarterback.
I hung on to the hope for Rex Grossman much longer than I should have. I mean, like, Rex made a throw in that playoff win over the Seahawks in overtime that was like, okay, all right, played pretty well against the Saints in the NFC Championship game. And you thought, okay, like, for all the ups and downs that this guy's been through, he's going to go with a defense that can help him on a big stage with a chance. I always wondered if he didn't throw that pick six and had taken the Bears down instead for a score on that drive, how much different everything would have been for his career for the Chicago Bears. Now, listen, Rex went on to multiple stops and didn't clear the hurdles that people in Chicago wanted him to clear. And so it wasn't like, okay, you know, it was just waiting in there to be tapped into and they never got to it. It wasn't there. But I bring that up just to say that there are, you know, life comes at you fast, and it didn't take Rex Grossman very long to go from being the starter of a Super Bowl team to being benched permanently and then coming back in for a couple starts a few years down the road. But a year from now, we may be having a totally different conversation about Brock Purdy. We don't know where this thing's going to head. It's going to be fascinating to watch how he plays this weekend in a really, really good game against an Eagles defense that I think has established itself as pretty damn imposing at this point. And so we'll see, you know, but like, I can't even hear Rex's name without going back into that sort of dream world of 2006. And for the Bears, it's the last time that they were truly, really, really, really good. And you're just like, man, that's an eternity ago. And so many things come at you quick in this league.
I only bring him up because, number one, the similarities in the fact that he's more of a passenger as Purdy is on this team.
But played well. Like, people knock him. I mean, that NFC Championship game, you were there. You watched it.
Well. Yeah. No doubt about it. Also, he was given more chances and higher expectations because of his draft status. He was a first-round draft pick. You know, Brock Purdy was the last guy taken. So, yeah, you're right. It takes a little bit more time before we know what we have or what the 49ers have in Purdy. But it has been fun for me to watch because he made a couple big throws. And sure, George Kittle helped him out with a great catch. But that's always going to happen with any quarterback in any game.
Well, let's also just – talk about what the 49ers got when they threw their chips in on Christian McCaffrey in October, you know, and what the difference that that dude has made in that offense to take an already solid offense up a level. I don't think they've lost since they've gotten him, right? I don't think that, I think that they're undefeated since that trade went off. And that's a bold trade to make at that time of year. And it's obviously paid dividends for John Lynch.
And they're going against an Eagles team that added some pieces on their defensive interior and front seven at the trade deadline. You wonder if it will affect how teams view the trade deadline moving forward.